people would share things out of the silence or share concerns that they had, and we would just sit with it. And I just remember being like, oh my God, like, this is real. I was so amazed.
This is the Wannabe Quaker podcast with your hosts, David Summerhays and Jackie Bonner.
This is an exciting day, Jackie. We've been preparing your leading, your podcast leading for many weeks now, months. We've been talking about this and we're finally here.
Finally get to actually be here, and it's interesting because it's almost like you have all these people in front of you, you're on the stage, and someone hands you the mic, and they're like, what do you want to say? Moment.
Broadcast yourself. Yep.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. This leading, I don't know, it just came out of the silence. I had no idea what I was getting into, but thankfully, David here answered the call.
Pleasure. The request didn't come from you. It came directly from God. That's why it's a Godcast.
A Godcast.
No, it definitely, you said it, and I thought, ooh, what a nice idea. That'd be exciting.
So we're welcoming everyone to this podcast, to this Quakers of the North podcast. Glad you found it. Glad you're here.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways we're going to introduce Quakerism to beginners.
Talk about Canadian Quakers.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of content about England Quakers and the Quakers in the U.S.
You know, it's just fun. We'll become little tiny rock stars within Canadian Quakerism, and the people will be, I listen to your podcast, and
That would be really nice.
it's always nice to, like, when it's somebody you get to know and meet, when it's not just some dude that lives in Baltimore or, you know, Birmingham, England.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just kind of fun to have it be local. We're also going to bring in some guests. I have a feeling we can't just keep all the joy to ourselves.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get some Canadian Quakers on the podcast. There's also so many stories that are worth preserving and telling, like a lot of the Quaker work that was done behind the United Nations Declaration of Indigenous Rights.
Well, let's not give away all of our episodes.
No, stay tuned.
But there's definitely many stories to tell.
But I think one thing worth noting is that myself and David have taught the Quaker 101 course for Canadian Yearly Meeting Education and Outreach. We've taught it a number of times, and we have been around a lot of new people coming in or exploring or seeking. That's kind of where the seed of this podcast came from, is being like, where's the Canadian podcast? Oh, wait, there isn't one. Okay, maybe gotta make it.
We're in danger of starting to introduce ourselves here.
We are. We're getting into that territory.
Here's the thing, though. So the thing is that the second we introduce ourselves, like, up to this point, we've been omniscient narrators that don't have a name, and therefore we're omniscient. I mean, I guess we have to introduce ourselves, but I just kind of wanted to enjoy this moment of just being the voice of God and the voice of goddess and you know, all that good stuff. Voice of God, too. Yeah.
Yeah. That can happen much longer.
I know. So let's take advantage. Like, what is the breakfast cereal of God?
The breakfast cereal of God is, I don't know what it is, but I do know that it's maple flavored. Ha ha.
Had to stick that joke in there. That's nice. Okay, favorite song of God?
Silence.
Oh.
Yeah, that was
good.
That was
so pious of you. What's God's favorite food? I think it's plantains.
Plantains.
Fried plantains. Fried plantains.
And chicken.
We're referencing a planning meeting meal.
Yes. We are.
Omniscient narrators need chicken too.
God was present for that meeting on that blanket.
I saw a couple plantains missing. Kind of like the way Santa Claus eats a cookie. Anyway, all right, fine.
So I maybe guess introduce ourselves a little bit. Yeah.
We're gonna have to come back to the well on this joke. Anyway, fine. I'm David. I'm not an omniscient narrator.
I'm Jackie. And I live in Sydney, Nova Scotia, also known as Inumaki, the unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. And we're recording this podcast on, what's the day? October 9th?
Monday, October 9th.
Monday, October 9th, Thanksgiving. And yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you too. We are dating ourselves already.
Yeah, I know.
I'm grieving the loss of our omniscience.
You'll get over it. You'll get over it.
You're more omniscient than I am. Omniscience comes more from Jackie than me. So I'm coming at you from Montreal, otherwise known as Jojaki, long time place of meeting and exchange among lots of different indigenous peoples. Now closest to Mohawk, and we just say it's Mohawk territory. But yeah, really good to be here.
Happy to be here.
But like Jackie said, you know, we both taught this 101 course and other Quaker courses. So we're not just two Quaker Joes and Jodies coming at you. Although there's that. We're also teacher types, but we're also bringing, shall I call it, a wealth of experience? Are we wealthy in experience?
I think we have some. I think we got some ways to go, but
Jackie's a billionaire.
No. I'm actually, if anyone, if you want to talk about numbers, you've been a Quaker longer than I have. So.
Okay, all right. Oh yeah, right. Okay, yeah. I've been a Quaker for 15 years now. I mean, I joined maybe 14 years ago, but I mean, I walked in, I was like, whoa, this is home. This is nuts. So I applied pretty fast. But yeah, 15 years of knowing about Quakers. I've been doing Quaker courses, well, from like 2017 was it? Up until a few years ago. So 2020, 2021. So a few years of that. And Jackie and I are just, we're teacher types.
I've been part of Quakers for 7 years. I joined Calgary monthly meeting and been going ever since, and now I've moved to the East Coast and I'm an isolated friend. There's another story right there.
Wow. All right, Jackie, it's time to pop the question to God.
Oh yeah,
God, will you marry me?
No.
Oh,
that's what God okay
said. I heard it. You got work, some work to do on yourself first. All right, Jackie, David. Mm-hmm. How did you two come to Quakers?
Today's episode is brought to you by silence. Silence, God's preferred method of communication.
So, the way I came to Quakers, it actually started because I like old things. It's funny to say. I studied in history. I just was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of plugged into old stuff. And I was doing this student exchange in France. And I was in Paris and apparently hadn't really done my research on Paris as a city because everything is 19th century and nothing is old. So I was like, oh, man, except the churches. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go to church. I'll visit the churches. So any church that was open at like 2 p.m. on a Thursday, you know, Notre Dame, Saint-Séverin. So all of those, you know, they're open 3 o'clock on a Thursday. But eventually, you know, you're going by Saint-Augustin or like other parts of town and going, wow, that church looks awesome. And it's only open Sunday at 10? Ugh. But eventually I just got so frustrated with it or bored enough or whatever that I started going to church on a Sunday. And so it's not only is it like you know, Catholic. I was like not Christian at all. My parents are atheist. Really just so little background. Despite my history degree, I was like, okay, I can kind of follow a little. And then it was all in French. So to me, it was just like, what? What about Jesus? We're like eating him. I kind of don't get it. But I realized like, oh, like, okay, this time is really nice. Like I would go, there's music. People are nice and we're kind of reinforcing good things. And, you know, people just talk about death, birth, life, and everything in between. And it's like, oh, okay, like we kind of have time for important things. Like, that's kind of cool, I guess. And I'd chat with folks after and be like, huh. Like sometimes it'd be really nice. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I got back to where I'm from, which is Chicago. And didn't think about it for a minute. And then the same thing happened. I was kind of just walking around. I'd see church buildings and just think, these are like living entities. There's like communities in here. And that's funny. Like I just have no experience of this. So I went to a Catholic church in the States and was like, oh, okay. It was one of those like, so when's the worker revolution kind of Catholic churches? I mean, it was fun. I went to some black churches and stuff. Amazing. Yeah, but like one of the first places I went, I just thought, oh, I saw Quakers go by and I thought, oh, I remember them from history class. Oh, what do you know? They're still around. I can't remember how much I knew. I think I must have known the very, very basics because I don't remember being shocked at how it worked. Like I remember going and not being surprised that we sat in silence. Anyway, so I went and I was like, okay, cool. Sitting in silence. That's nice. I've done that with the Buddhist, whatever. And then people would share things out of the silence or share concerns that they had. And we would just sit with it. And I just remember being like, oh my God, like this is real. I was so amazed by Quakers. You know, not everybody is necessarily blown away. That's not how everybody comes to a religion. That some people are like, well, that's all right. I guess I'd come back. Or some people like go once and like, no, and then have more other life experience and go, yeah. But for me, it was, oh, wow. Like, it was really instant. I remember going back home and being like, who the crap are these people? And like Wikipediaing like crazy. You know, it really helped too that I was on this visiting church. Like I had this interest to visit churches. I mentioned this like right after I said, I was kind of blown away. I was like, yeah, I have this thing about visiting churches and this one's great. And they were like, oh, visiting churches, cool. Have you gone to the Unitarians? Have you checked out these guys? Did you go down the street? Like, it's a pretty interesting experience down at the Mennonites. It was so open. I loved the attitude. It was so welcoming, just welcoming me to be on my path. So that's how I came to Quakers. I was pretty impressed. Oh, I should mention, I've been the clerk of my meeting. So in addition to having done these Quaker courses, I've also been to definitely over half of the meetings and worship groups in Canada, I would say. And I've been to a few in the US, FGC. So I've been to a number of Quaker meetings. So I bring some experience.
You never told me some of the stuff in there.
Oops.
You didn't tell me about Paris or France.
How about you, Jackie?
Yeah, no, I knew this moment was coming. How did I come to Quakers? I have always known about Quakers. It's surprisingly, I grew up in the Anglican Church, baptized and confirmed. Loved it. Loved ritual. I did love the ritual of, you know, going up, getting some wine and some bread. But I guess when you're young, it's grape juice. And I mean, the wafer never tasted very good. But I enjoyed the ritual part of it. I did not enjoy the sitting part where you had to listen to somebody for an hour. But luckily we always went to Sunday school and I always enjoyed that aspect of it. Then when I was 7 years old, I had a brain tumor and had very bad seizures, had to be medevaced to sick kids in Toronto, and had major brain surgery, and they actually said that it was on my, I had to have my left, most of my left temporal lobe removed, and because I was right-handed and your brain goes across, they said that I wouldn't be able to walk or talk or do very much of anything. But when I woke up and I was walking and talking and wondering, like, what's going on? Why am I in this bed? Like, what is happening? I'm 7 years old. They were marveled and amazed, and they said, what is going on here? And it was because I am actually right brain dominant and right-handed, which is very unusual. So the doctors were amazed, and they studied me for like 10 years after that. I remember thinking as a child that I must have been saved for a reason, a purpose. That's why God would do that, right? Why else would he save me? So I must have been told that or mentioned it. Anyway, so I've always like been a deeply spiritual being my whole life, having had that kind of experience. And then moving around the world and experiencing different cultures and different things. We lived in England for a couple of years. We lived in Africa. And reading a lot of books was how I spent a majority of my quiet childhood. And I remember reading The Witch of Blackbird Pond by Elizabeth George Speer. And they had Quakers in them. And I remember reading about Quakers and being like, oh, this is curious. I'm curious about this. And the way that they spoke in the book was the, using old Quaker speak. And how she, the witch, talked about what's inside your heart. And the heroine in the book enjoyed visiting her. And I really enjoyed that. And then just it kept popping up in history class and all over. And then I remember just having different experiences in my life and wondering where can I find some answers, and searching and like you going, I remember going back to church when things got really difficult. I would always go back to church, and I wouldn't like go the next week. I would just go when things were tough. Just finding some peace and quiet and healing there, and reading significant amount of Christian modern books and being around a lot of what I would describe as evangelical Christians. Yet I remember thinking like, that's not exactly for me, but I like the God part. But there would be a lot of people that would say, oh, God wouldn't like that. And I'm always like, well, how do you know that? Have you talked to him? But always coming back to being very deeply spiritual and spending time in silence just on my own and walking in nature. And then coming to Calgary and spending a lot of time hiking and backpacking in the Rockies and camping overnight by myself. Very scary, very liberating, very wonderful, very scary. And just being able, when spending time in the wilderness, being able to just figure things out and getting a break and hiding from the world in a sense. And then I remember looking up Quakers again because I was curious, and then it said monthly meeting, and I was like, oh, they only meet once a month. Oh I missed it again. When is this? Because I was looking for a website and I couldn't find one. And then I met my partner, and on our first date, We talked about Quakers, and it was really weird. And then we both said, let's go check out Quakers together. And then we did. And then we just kept going back because both of us were working. He was working as a therapist up in a residential addiction treatment center, and I was working at the under 18 center. They were sister camps. That's how we met at work. And we both were kind of searching for a faith-based community because we knew how important it is to maintain for mental health, having a spiritual community, having a community that you can rely on, being as both of us had no family out west. And we went to the Quaker meeting. We had no idea what was going to happen. No idea about the silence, nothing. And we sat down. We said hello. We sat in silence. And then the silence ended. And I remember a really good friend of mine, shout out to Beth Curry right here, fell asleep in the chair beside me. Because she had been up for a very long time that previous night. And they asked us some questions about who we are and why we're here. And then we just left. I remember thinking, like, I don't know if I'll come back. But then Beth and Aaron came running down the street after us. And because we were Quakers under the age of 40, and so were they, and they're just like, do you want to come to our house for dinner tonight? And we're just like, we do, but we have plans, but maybe we can do it another time. And they said, okay. And then we became friends for the next 6 years, still friends. I visited them last summer. So, and then it just kind of took off from there. And I went to CYM and participated in Quaker book talks, although that might have not been a thing yet, but it was growing into one. And just what, I went there, but what really kept me was that social justice aspect that, you know, it's your spiritual duty almost to do something about things, to not just stand there and be passive. And that's a lot of the Quaker Witness stuff. And it was just so wonderful how this whole flower of my faith just opened up, and now I'm here recording a podcast about it. So Quakers holds so much of what I need. It fits very well. And I really hope that I can share that with my daughter, which she came from that first date, I guess. We've been together for 7 years and we have a daughter. So, yeah, it's just nice to share faith with someone, to share faith with community, and to find friends like David, and just to keep going and to search. Because one thing about Quakers is it's always about asking questions and, you know, messing up. And I remember one of my favorite Quakers that's no longer with us, Margaret was her name. She said in a meeting once that she fails, like, all the time. Like, every day, she fails. And she was 90-something and been a Quaker most of her life. And I was just like, oh, good. If she acknowledges that, good. Just, there's so much relief.
So I tell my story, and you're like, oh, you didn't tell me about that Paris building thing.
Huh? Well, which part of this did I not tell you?
Okay, what part of it did you tell me? I'll start there. Probably the part about mentioning it on your first date. Everything after the first date, I'd say. I think okay. Everything before too bad we're publishing this in audio, because you would see, like, there's, like, this image of my face, and then the eyes just take, like, the larger and larger percentage. Like, it's funny the way our experience is very much our own, but there are things that are really common about our experience.
Very, I mean,
for instance,
common.
Like, coming to Quakers as an adult, it's, I would say a very small percentage of the membership of Quakers had even been to a meeting before they were 18 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because it's a religion that has been there, if that makes sense. Like, if somebody's new and they come as an adult, it's not like, oh, what's that like to, like, not know all the acronyms and the institutions that were like, oh man, that was me, like, last week or 5 years ago. That's a strength and a weakness, of course, but yeah, is it unique? I don't know. I'd have to ask around. But I do know, like, us coming to Quakers as adults is, young adults, is a thing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people experience, they already have previous experience. Like, I mean, I think being atheist is previous experience.
Now, I would say also one thing that's a little bit maybe typical in our experience is also people having some kind of spiritual background, because they're like, Quakerism is, there's a DIY element, like, you're there, you're sitting there, that's not always very stimulating. And people that bring their own spirituality, their own practice, have something to do. But it's not like, I say that, but I really don't mean that to mean, like, you'd better know how to meditate alone in order to meditate with Quakers, because, like, I'm not a good meditator. I find sitting with Quakers is way easier than sitting by myself. And if it was, oh, yeah, we're going to sit in silence for an hour, I'd be like, I can do it now, but, you know, I don't know. But, like, the fact that people share things, ask queries, share things that are going on with their lives too, it really breaks it up, and it makes it more rich and more social. And people have, like, powerful ministry to share sometimes. It's really worth just sitting with for a few minutes. But anyway, a lot of people that come that have the most interest, maybe that's part of the barriers. They just think, oh, we're going to sit in silence for a while, I'd better know what to do. So.
And I think one important thing is that a lot of people think, oh, if I become a Quaker, then I have to shed my old spiritual ways. No, 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 no. No, you can be a Catholic and a Quaker. I think they're called Quathlics or something like that. And there's lots of people who are Quaker and Buddhist. There's lots of people who are atheist Quakers.
All right. Well, we better wrap this up, because we're going to turn this into 9 podcasts if we're not careful.
Yeah.
Actually, we've really transitioned quite nicely into the subject of our next episode, which
Silence.
Is...
Silence. Is that a joke? You're being silent? Yeah,
maybe.
Okay, all right. It's a joke.
Maybe.
No, the podcast will not be half an hour of silence. No, we're actually going to talk about silence itself. It's God's preferred method of communication.
I got nothing to say about silence, so I'll just sit there. It's an episode about dead air and the importance of dead air in podcasting.
It's not dead air.
It's not.
It's very much alive.
Okay, well, Jackie's going to educate me. Apparently, I need teaching.
Ba-dum-bum-ching. Did you get it?
We're going to get a bunch of, like, sound effects, and we'll probably just be going ba-dum-womp whenever I talk. All right. Well, that does it for today's podcast. I think we've hit this one out of the park. So
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time. We'll hear you next. We'll listen to you next time. You'll listen to us next time. Please cut that
you
out
will.
Of the podcast.
You will. There'll probably be ways to get in touch with us. Fancy things like that. So, like, yeah, don't be shy. We want ideas for episodes. We want people's reactions. We'll probably, find ways to integrate that into what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Questions. Yeah, so three of you. We want three emails from the three people listening to this.
All three people listening to this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. So, see ya.
Play the music.
The Wanna Be Quaker podcast is produced by David Summerhayes with support from Canadian Yearly Meeting. Shout out to our number one fan, who's not even one yet, Maddie.